Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
I need a few helpers today though, is that all right? I got back pretty late last night and so hopefully it will come out in a relatively clear way. So if you can just turn this one on, that'd be great. Okay, got a few little props that we're going to use this morning. One or two helpers as well. And so we're going to have a little look at the resurrection life of Jesus and what does it mean to have Christ in us to see people set free. So if you want to turn to John chapter 11, verse 25, it says, Jesus said here, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. How many of you have already got eternal life in you today? You know, if you've already got eternal life in you because you've got Christ in you, then you've got nothing to fear about death because you've already got eternal life. Amen. I'd like to introduce my friend over there. Actually, he's not my friend. It's not Darth Vader, but we're going to introduce this particular individual in a minute. Also, we're going to introduce one or two other people, but I need nine helpers specifically to give me a hand this morning. Can I have nine willing helpers of all ages, not just the younger ones, but of all ages. Coming in on the orange t-shirt. Come on in, mate. Poppy, you coming out? Yeah, coming in. Just, speedy helpers. Okay, one or two older ones. What's it? One, two, three, four, six. That'll do. We're going to have one of those mornings this morning, working with children. And that's nine, isn't it, with Poppy? Great. If you can stay sort of down there somewhere, if you can just go and stand down there, you can stay up here, just stand in the middle. And are you going to help us this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your name?
Hannah.
Hannah.
Yeah.
She's your sister?
Hannah.
Your name's Hannah. Hannah. Anybody else called Hannah? We just call all the girls Hannah this morning. They're, at least you'll never forget what the person's name is. So, okay, can you stand there, Hannah? Cool, just stay. What's your name?
Daniel.
Your name's not Hannah either. No, yeah. No, Daniel. Okay, cool. Just go and stand down. You won't see down there. In the purple T-shirt, what's your name? Callum. You stand down there because then everybody will be able to see. If you can stand on the floor. Can you go and just stand on the floor down there? If you'd like to come this way, sir, what's your name?
Nathaniel.
Yeah. Cool. It's a good name, isn't it? Did you get an Easter egg yet?
Yeah.
Cool. What was it?
Rolo.
Yeah. Can I have one?
No.
Can I have your last Rolo?
No!
Hannah. It's a girl. It's Hannah. It's got to be, okay? What's your name?
Benjamin.
Do you play cricket?
Yeah.
He's got a cool outfit there, haven't you, mate? Benjamin. Okay, you need to play for England because they're not doing very well. Okay, you can stand right there, but don't fall down the steps because there's health and safety involved. Okay, if you can just stand down there, that'd be cool. Okay, actually, Nathaniel, you can come this way a little bit. Poppy, you doing all right down there?
I'm doing all right, yeah.
Good, okay.
The exclamation mark, still.
I've still got the exclamation mark, yeah. I know. Thanks. After she got baptized last week, she said, "What's that on your chin there?" I said, "It's an exclamation mark, you know." So it looks good though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's grown a bit. Though.
It's grown a bit. Well, it's been a couple of weeks, so hopefully I've had a bit. I've sorted it out. Right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm back home. Right. Okay, we've got our nine helpers here. And now, how many of you know that the enemy is, the devil is the angel of darkness? All right? But he tries to come as the angel of light, doesn't he? And over here we have our, he's not Darth Vader, but actually the hat's on the wrong way around there, isn't it? Shouldn't it be that way? Looks like he's got no neck now, doesn't he? Let's put it that way. Anyway, it's better that way. It's going to be one of those, isn't it? I don't know if you can hear Poppy laughing down here, but yeah, okay. Great. Now, what's his name?
Why is his neck bit at the front?
Why is his neck bit at the front?
Yes.
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Just don't ask any more questions. Just one second. You're doing a great job. Great job. Now, the thing is. I'm still going to get a Rolo off you by the end of the morning. All right, I am. Okay, now I've got a friend here, and you know him quite well. And Mr. Chad Marriott is the devil this morning. Everybody, give him a hiss. Come on. Now, how many of you know that a lot of the time we think the devil is like Fagin, don't we? Out of But actually, most of the time, he's not like Fagin at all. He comes as the angel of light, and he actually seems like your best mate.
Hi, Poppy, how are you? Yeah. Keep away from me, mate.
Did you hear what she said then? She said, keep away from me, mate. It's great. See, what the enemy does, the enemy, he doesn't come in a really obvious way. He comes in really subtle ways into people's lives. And I'm not here. I'm the narrator. Don't talk to me. All right. Start giving everything out. And he starts to work in people's lives. And as he kind of befriends them and the enemy likes to appeal to us, you know. Maybe just let everybody see that, Poppy. Turn it around.
Make him a star.
This way. Face it that way.
Oh, yeah,
thanks.
No, you said that prayer. It's great, isn't it?
You know, the enemy can't say, I can make you famous. I can make you popular. Or I can deal with that pain that you're feeling in your life. Just maybe take a little bit of alcohol. Or maybe just get lost in a relationship with somebody. Or he begins to work in us and he creates and different effects in our life, from pride to unbelief to things like guilt, shame, things like despair. And what seems at the beginning to be quite an attractive friendship with the devil begins to turn sour and begins to have a negative effect on our lives. That's it. Just hold it up like that. Just like that. Cool. It's all going to change in a minute, all right? Hate. Look like you mean it. Okay. Now, the thing is, the enemy touches individual lives, but you know, the work of the enemy is to bind people with the power of sin. That was his intent right at the beginning. And so, come on, mate. Working with children. You're doing it. I know, mate. And what the enemy wants to do, he begins to... He begins to affect people's lives in different ways, but then he begins to bind them. And what we begin to see in society is the enemy doesn't just affect individuals, but this rope represents the power of sin. And now the enemy has tried to afflict society, mankind, with the power of sin.
I'm working.
Ha ha ha!
without me.
I'm just enjoying watching you, mate. See, the enemy is subtle, isn't he? The way that he comes into lives. He befriends, wants it to feel like there's going to be a good outcome. And as people begin to partner with the enemy, if you like, or give themselves to the enemy. He begins to have a negative impact. Very negative impact. But this thing, this rope here, this is the power of sin. Now, in order for these people to be set free, something needed to happen to break the power of sin over mankind, to bring the possibility of freedom into people's lives. John Smith, would you like to step this way, please, sir? Okay, we've got this out of the hospitality room. It's gold, and this is God's throne. So let me introduce you to God. Sit down. Now, God is on his throne, but God wanted to set people free from the power of sin or the bondage of sin on mankind. Pete Norman, step this way, please, sir. If you ever wanted to know what Jesus looked like, then... You look like Jesus, mate.
Thanks.
Now, God's intention was for us to have perfect relationship with him, to be in relationship, not to be bound by sin, not to be bound by the power of sin. And so the Father, the Son, and then we need who? Who would like to be the Holy Spirit this morning? Sue McPherson. What a great Holy Spirit. Come on in. So you can just go to the other side of the throne there. Now this is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. Three in one. Okay? Not the oil, but this is God. Okay? Although there is oil involved. The anointing. Okay? Now, the Father was looking down at what was happening to mankind and the power of sin that had captured people. And God decided that it was time to break the power of sin over mankind. And so the Father said to the Son one day, it's time for you to go, to be born as a baby, to grow and to become the Saviour and to be the Saviour of mankind. But the reason you're living is to die on a cross, to break the power of sin that has captured and holds mankind captive where there's no freedom. And so the Father said to the Son, you're going to be born. Obviously, we can't make you into a baby at this moment, Pete. But this weekend's about resurrection life. And so Jesus was born and he came to the earth, if you'd like to go down there. And Jesus, while he was on earth, he preached the gospel, healed the sick, did all kinds of miracles. But it came to that day where he was tried falsely, accused of all kinds of things. And the day came where they nailed him to a cross. Just go with me. They nailed him to the cross. Thanks. But it says in the Bible that when he hung on the cross, the purpose was to take every sin, every despair, every sickness, every guilt, every shame, every unbelief, every aspect of death, pride, everything that could separate us. But the reason why Jesus came was to break the power of sin over mankind. And when Jesus hung there on the cross, you guys just throw off the rope that's around you right now, okay? Just step out of it. You hold on to your bit of paper. When Jesus hung on the cross, the power of sin was broken over people's lives. But what did that do? It made it possible for these people that represent mankind to now come into a relationship with with God, with the Father. Now, Jesus then was buried, and 3 days later, just lie down for a minute. Jesus was buried. Don't go to sleep though, mate. And then 3 days later, he rose again. Come on, just... This is Jesus rising from the dead. While we were away in Israel, the guide that we had, she talked about different numbers and what they represent. And she was talking about the number 3 one day, and I had a bit of a conversation with her after she kind of said something to the group. And she said that the number 3 for the Jews in Judaism represents a binding agreement. And that anything where the number 3 is in the Bible, it's to fulfill something, or it's to fulfill a binding agreement. And it's amazing when you think that Jesus was dead and buried for 3 days, and after 3 days he rose again, and it was to fulfill God's covenant to mankind. There was a binding agreement that God was fulfilling, and that's why Jesus was actually, he wasn't dead for 2 days or 4 days, it was 3 days, because that represented the fulfillment of a binding agreement that God was making with people. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? And so it's not just there, well, why 3 days? Because they understood then 3 days was, this is God fulfilling his covenant with mankind to bring salvation. And there's death 3 days, and then there's resurrection life. Amen? That's just a bit of an aside there. But that's why it was 3 days, to fulfill God's covenant or binding agreement that he had with us as mankind to bring freedom, to set us free. Now, can you guys just stand up a minute? Leave the rope for a sec. Brilliant. Just hold your bits of paper up. Okay. Now, even though the power of sin was broken on the cross at that point of death, okay, people are still in captivity to sin in their own personal lives. But the power of sin has been defeated. Now, what did Jesus say after he rose from the dead? He spent a number of weeks with the disciples, but then he ascended into heaven. And he said to the disciples, I'm going to go and be with my Father, but I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit, who's going to guide you into all the truth. He's going to give you power to be witnesses. Okay, who would like to be a powerful witness this morning? Who'd like to be a powerful witness this morning? Just a few of you. Anybody else? You want to be a powerful witness this morning? Oh, lovely. One of the things that we used to do when we were kids, we used to preach my dad's sermons back to him. And that's what your kids do sometimes, isn't it? You teach them stuff and then they see you not doing it the odd time, and then they go, you told me this and you told me that. And so, Dad, get your hand up wherever you are. You want to live a powerful life in Jesus. Yeah, amen. Great. We love it, don't we? Okay, and so, right, now we need somebody who's going to be a powerful witness this morning. Who wants to be that powerful witness? Not many of you. Come on then. He's down the front. Okay, now, just be down there for a sec. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, I'm going to go to be with the Father, but I'm going to send you my Spirit. I'm going to send you my Helper. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, power is going to come upon you, okay? So, Holy Spirit. So, power is going to come upon you right now. You ready? No, hang on, Sue. I know you're enthusiastic, but just wait a minute. We should have had a bunch of animals up here this morning. It might have been easier. Right. So just face that way, Laura, okay? Now, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, the Holy Spirit is with you. Now, the power of sin has been broken, but people are still in captivity to the work of the enemy, right? And so what God has called us to be, people that have given us the ministry of reconciliation, because Jesus has won the victory over all of this lot. But he says, I'm baptizing you with my Spirit and with power so you can go and see the captive set free. I've already done the work on the cross, but I need somebody to go in my name, with my authority, with my victory, with my life, and I want to put my life inside of them instead. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Just hold on. Got to get this right now. Okay. So, this is, I don't know if this is going to work, but anyway, okay. You've got to put the relevant one with the relevant person.
Okay.
Okay. Or maybe I'll help you, because yeah. I wrote them. Okay. So firstly, the enemy has a hold of this person's life. And so the believer comes, just go with the power of the Holy Spirit, yep. Shares the gospel. This person wants to respond to the gospel. They give their life to Jesus. They get set free from the power of the enemy. Instead of pride, you know, racking through their life, instead they become a person who is humble. Why? Because the same spirit that is in this person now baptizes this person with the life of Jesus and comes and fills them. So now this person, just stand up, Poppy. Just stand up a minute. Stand up.
Oh, yeah, no, hold up a minute. Let me sit in the right order.
So now Poppy stands as a believer who is full of Christ, has Christ in her. She's full of the Holy Spirit. She's a person who is humble now because she has Christ in her. She has the one who is humble in her. She's not trying to be humble. She has the humble one who is in her, okay? So now she goes with that humility of spirit with Laura now, and they go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they come across the next person. This one. And they begin to preach the gospel. They pray for her. She responds. She gives her life to Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon her. And instead of death, she is replaced with life. Now she becomes a person of life. Let's get rid of death. She now joins these guys. She's full of life. She now has the life of Christ in her. This is great. It's going great. It's going well. This guy's got, he's getting worse. He's got shame and unbelief all over his life now. She's full of sickness, racked with guilt. Man, this is... We'll just let you guys play anyway, okay? Now, these guys then come over. Just come down on these a bit closer. Come up here, Laura. Again, she goes to this person. God begins to set them free. Instead of guilt, she has forgiveness, okay? Instead of shame, this person now is made worthy. Instead of... Who's got despair? Instead of despair, that's replaced with hope. Who's sick here this morning? Instead of sickness, chuck it on the floor. You that now have the healer. She gets healed. Who has hate in their life? Hate is destroyed in somebody's life because he has love now in him, Christ in him. Who has unbelief? Unbelief is replaced by truth, faith, and wherever else we've gone wrong on the way. Somebody hasn't got the right bit of thing. Anyway, whatever. You all know it anyway. So I know it's the wrong way around, but never mind. Now, what happens? You see, these believers, full of the Holy Spirit, Christ in them, begin to go around. They're sharing this life, and they see the enemy's power broken off people's lives. And instead, then Christ comes to live in them. So they have the forgiver inside them. They now have the healer inside them. They now have the one who is love inside of them. They now have the one who is hope. Show it to the people. The one who is hope. They now have the one who is faith in them. The one who is life in them. The one who is worthy in them. The one who is truth in them. So it's not just Jesus' victory today. It's not just about us trying to be people of faith or hope or love. It's about Christ in us. He is hope. He is love. He is faith. He is life. He is the healer. He is our worthiness. He is truth in our lives. And so the victory that Jesus won is so that he could come and live in us and be who he is in our lives. So the power of sin is broken over our lives. The power of sin is broken over each individual life this morning. And God is sitting on his throne, rejoicing over the work of his hands in people's lives this morning. Let's give all these guys a massive thank you, shall we, for helping us this morning. Thanks, guys. You can go and sit down. Thanks, guys. Thanks, mate. Done a great job. Great job. Colossians 1, 27. Does anybody know what that says? It talks about the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. John 11, 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, you are full of power sitting on your seat this morning. You are full of eternal living power. You have enough power inside of you today to deal with every issue that is on the planet. Because you have the same power in you today that raised Jesus from the dead in you. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You don't just get a little bit. You get the Holy Spirit inside of you. You get the victorious one inside of you. You get the one who is life inside of you. You don't just have a part of his life. You have the whole of his life. You have him, Christ, in you, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So you can overcome things in your own life. You can see him overcome things in other people's lives because his power is in you and is at work in you today. If you believe it, turn to somebody else and tell them, I believe it. Okay, jump to your feet. Come on. This is a day of power. This is a day of life. This is a day of victory. This is a day of hope. This is a day of salvation. This is a day of work being made worthy. This is a day of overcoming. We have this victorious life of Jesus Christ in us today, right now. We're not waiting for anything because he has already come. We're not looking for anything because he has already found us.
Yes. All right. Come on.
Yes. Come on. Just turn to the person next to you. Give them a shake if they don't look excited. This is Resurrection Day. Tomorrow is Resurrection Day. The next day is Resurrection Day. Every day is Resurrection Day. You have the one who is the resurrection and the life inside of you. Every day, every moment, every hour, every minute of the day, you have the resurrection and the life inside of you. God has not given you a spirit of despair. He's dealt with all of that. That's history. That's gone. You now have the spirit of life, the spirit of victory inside of you. God has called us to walk in victory today. There might be some people here today, you don't know Jesus, and you're thinking, wow, you lot, you're on something. We are on something. It's called eternal life. And when you know Jesus, there's no fear of death because he puts his eternal life inside of you, and therefore you already have, you're already living with eternal life. Our bodies are going to die one day, but we have something eternal already in us. It's called a treasure, Jesus Christ, in this jar of clay. We just come out of the earth in one sense, but we have this treasure within. It's called Jesus Christ, and he's eternal. He's alive today. He's alive and he rules and he reigns, and he wants you to know him too. You know, being a Christian isn't the easiest life out there. In some ways, it's becoming tougher to be a believer. If you go to Israel, man, they're right on the front line every day, getting persecuted for their faith and all the opposition they get. You know, and it's increasing in this nation. It's not easy being a believer, being a Christian. Take some guts. Take some character. Take some decisions every day to stand for the one that you know is true. The one who, you know, really he is the only true and living God. So it's not just come to Jesus and everything's rosy for the rest of your life. To follow Jesus takes some guts, doesn't it? He's the one that can deal with all this kind of stuff we've looked at this morning. Many people in this room, everybody who's already a believer, God has already done all these things, set people free from despair, from hope. Some people live in a life of hate, and God has completely taken that out, and instead there's a love in there, a love for people, a love for life. Instead of despair, there's a hope there, where people just didn't know where their destiny was going, what their life was all about. Instead of despair, there's now hope. I know what I'm living for. Hope in the Bible, you know, isn't just something that one day, hopefully, something good will happen. Hope in the Bible is a certainty of what is coming my way. Sickness. You know, Jesus died on the cross. He was whipped and beaten. It says on the way to the cross, by his wounds, he says, we are healed. Not will be, but we are healed. When Jesus said it's finished on the cross, that means every sickness was dealt with on the cross 2,000 years ago. He took it all. He's conquered. He's overcome. He has got the victory over every sickness. So this morning, people can receive that he's already done 2,000 years ago. But you might not know Jesus this morning. We just want to give you an opportunity to respond to him. It's not the easiest life out there. It's a pretty tough life. But when you have Christ in you, he enables you to live the life that he's called you to live. He gives you the strength and ability because it's in him, not in your own means, in your own effort. And he died on the cross for every one of us as individuals. He hung there with all the pain, the beatings, the whippings that he'd had, the crown of thorns plunged into his skull. And even while he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Even on the cross, there was love. There was compassion. He wasn't there angry. He wasn't there blaming anybody. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But he said to the Father, I'll go to the cross. I'll take the pain, the shame, the guilt, the sin of every person, of mankind upon myself. I'll become a guilt offering. I'll be guilty, made guilty, so that people could be made free. Could be saying innocent before God. And so if that's you this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to respond. I ask you to be bold today, okay? And if you want to give your life to Jesus, because it's going to mean living out loud, living out in front of people what you believe. You can't be a secret believer in this nation. Maybe other nations, it's illegal to be a Christian and, you know, but in this nation, it's not. And we want to live out our lives because the Bible says, Jesus said, if you honor my Father, then my Father. If you honor me, then I'll honor you before my Father. So a Christian is an outward living lifestyle. It's not just an internal belief system that you stick to yourself with. It's something that is evident in our life. And so if you want to respond to Jesus this morning, I don't mind if there's only just one. I'm not after numbers here. I'm after your life and your heart. And if you want to respond this morning, give your life to Jesus, I want to ask you just to come and stand at the front now. And if you're saying, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to take a first step and hand my life over to him. If you want to do that, I ask you just to come and stand at the front. We're going to pray together this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.